The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
But it's not just political protesters the government is spying on. Yesterday, we heard from a whistleblower within the U.S. government who reached out to warn us that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air. Now, that's a shocking claim, and ordinarily we'd be skeptical of it. It's illegal for the NSA to spy on American citizens. It's a crime. It's not a third world country. Things like that should not happen in America. But unfortunately, they do happen, and in this case, they did happen. The whistleblower, who is in a position to know, repeated back to us information about a story that we are working on that could have only come directly from my texts and emails. There's no other possible source for that information, period. The NSA captured that information without our knowledge and did it for political reasons. The Biden administration is spying on us. We have confirmed that.
This is the United States of America today. Some pretty scary stuff there coming from Tucker Carlson, probably the most popular commentator on cable news every evening. And here's the NSA trying to take him down, to blot him out, to censor him. My father wrote in this article back in April 2018. If corrupt agents can withhold vital intelligence from the president and even spy on him, what can they do to you? In some ways, this is not at all surprising, is it? It's still some pretty scary stuff, but it's not really surprising. My father said again, this was last year, if government agents can slander and spy on a well-connected American hero like General Flynn, what can they do to you if they disagree with your political views? Tucker, you'll recall a couple of weeks ago, he exposed the FBI as being part of the so-called January 6th insurrection. There's a lot of powerful people in the deep state that would love to see his program blotted out. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us for today's program, and we're also appreciative of our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on their network, and that takes this program, the audio version of this program, into 11 million homes right around the United States. If you want to watch the video version, however, That's broadcast exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. That's at thetrumpet.com/live. And you can get to all of these programs and the ones that are posted after the fact. The live stream, of course, comes at noon on the East Coast every weekday and 9 a.m. on the West Coast, 11 a.m. right here in the central time zone of the United States. I thought I'd quickly mention our bookstore, our college bookstore, reflectionsbookstore.com. That's where you can get to the ever-popular Trumpet Daily coffee mug. And I should also note, you can get quite a lot of other things at the store, the online store as well, including lots of Celtic Throne gear as well, some nice t-shirts and so on for Celtic Throne. Speaking of Celtic Throne, they were in Little Rock last night and then took the big bus all the way back home early this morning. So they've completed yet another performance, and we've got another one scheduled for this Thursday, a little bit closer to home, just up the highway here, I-44, I believe it is, from Oklahoma City to Tulsa. So Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Thursday night, 7:30, you can get to tickets for that performance if you go to CelticThrone.com. Well, as my father has said, he's referred to 2 Kings 14 a number of times. here recently, the April edition of the Trumpet magazine, and by the way, this is the latest right here, the August issue. I mentioned this one yesterday, just how timely these articles are. Tomorrow's news today, to subscribe to the Trumpet magazine, to become a monthly subscriber. Of course, there's no cost or obligation for you. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and ask to be a Trumpet subscriber today. My father said a few months ago that the deep corruption involved here is now being exposed before our eyes, and it was prophesied in 2 Kings 14:26. I'll leave it to you to look into that verse or the verses around it on your own time. But he says, after quoting the verse, this is happening right now in America. Nobody with any power is helping Israel. No one's helping. Even ones that you thought were helpful, at least at the start, they just kind of fizzle out at the end, like Bill Barr. He now, exposing himself as a weak rhino Republican, as a member of the deep state, he wants praise. He wants praise coming from the propaganda media, the elites, the radical left. Remember what it was that I think I just paraphrased this yesterday on the show. Donald Trump in his Saturday night campaign rally, I guess you could call it, up in Wellington, Ohio. And he said this about how weak the radical left has been on every issue except for going after their political opponents. And that in that way, they're quite strong. This is clip six.
Biden and the Democrats are weak on China, weak on Iran, weak on trade, weak on the economy, and weak on everything else, except for weaponizing law enforcement to go after Republicans, right? That's the only thing they're strong on.
They're quite strong on that. Weaponizing law enforcement to go after people like Tucker Carlson. At least, and there's, I guess, one ray of hope, at least there's one whistleblower. There's one whistleblower at the NSA that contacted Tucker and said, hey, I know what you have in your emails and your text messages. They want to blot him out. As I say, it's disturbing and scary on the one hand, and yet on the other, not at all surprising. When you think about what these agencies have been doing now for years, lying to federal courts, lying to the FISA courts so that they could continue spying illegally on an American citizen. This has been going on for quite some time, and my father's exposed a fair bit of it in his writings in recent years, going back to April of this year. He said, Special Counsel Mueller knew no collusion with Russia ever occurred, and everybody else knew it too. The leaders at the Justice Department knew it. The leaders at the FBI knew it. The directors of the intelligence agencies knew it. The congressional committees, which have both Republicans and Democratic members, knew it. They all wanted to create the illusion that Mueller's team was looking for the truth. But they never were. They weren't interested in the truth. They were attacking a political opponent and covering their tracks at the same time. It says they were simply covering up their attempted coup, their treason against this nation. It says the Democrats and some Republicans knew it was a fake investigation being used as a political weapon, yet Mr. Trump just could not believe the scale of corruption in Washington. Everyone knew because everyone was in on it. And look at the harassment. Even now that he's out of the White House, the harassment he has coming from these left-wing New York attorneys. They make an announcement yesterday or the day before saying, well, we're not gonna indict Donald Trump. And that's big news. The threat's been hanging over him for years. And then they come out and announce, well, we're not gonna indict him. And then that's big headlines, I guess. They don't have anything. And so they threaten it. For years, they get in there and take away Rudy Giuliani's law license. These are treasonous agents. It says here, he couldn't recognize that, speaking of Donald Trump, My father makes the point that even Trump didn't realize just how corrupt and evil this was through and through. But I think judging by some of his recent comments, the speech he gave on Saturday, seeing what's happened to Bill Barr, I think he sees the scale of it. He couldn't recognize that the entire purpose for that investigation was a treasonous effort to undo the 2016 election, oppose him politically, and cover up the unlawful treasonous acts leftists had committed and were committing. It says, I'm not sure even I understood this like I should. This is my father writing. But 2 Kings 14, 26 and 27 point to that reality. This passage gives you an idea of the depth of the corruption in Washington. America's affliction is very bitter, and the nation has no helper. There's just no helper. The spirit behind it is to blot out even the name of Israel. There's a story in the Daily Mail yesterday about the National Archives, right there in Washington, D.C. The archives that just puts all of our historical documents and paintings and such on display for Americans, ordinary Americans, to see. It says here, the National Archives Anti-Racism Task Force. Did you know this? That there's an anti-racism task force at the National Archives, of all things. Blasted its own headquarters rotunda for structural racism over paintings it displays, which are said to depict the United States white founding fathers in too positive a light. So what are we going to do now? How can we blot out the founding fathers at the National Archives of the United States of America? It says, according to the 100-page plus report's authors, the rotunda's famed murals depicting scenes such as the sighting of the Declaration of Independence and Constitution are insufficiently tempered with depictions of Native Americans being driven off their land by settlers. So somehow or another, here comes the 100-page report for all Americans to see. We hate ourselves. We hate our history. We've got to figure out a way to make it more balanced. Where does it stop? Where does it? Last year was the statues. The statues at a city park somewhere. Now it's right after Jefferson, Washington, all of them. Even at our own National Archives building. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop until God intervenes. Look at this Olympic athlete at the trials up in Oregon, turning away from the U.S. flag and the national anthem, draping herself in some Black Lives Matter t-shirt. She despises the flag. See, before it was just to heighten awareness of the inequalities, right? Well, we're not against the flag. We're not against the military. Well, now you see this female athlete who's been training probably for years on your dime if you're an American taxpayer, and she just has utter contempt for the national anthem, for the U.S. flag, and I guess she's going off to Tokyo now that she got third place. And she says there's more like her. What other nation this summer is going to stand up on those podiums and shake a fist at their flag or turn their back on their anthem? There's no helper, my father says, when quoting from 2 Kings 14, there's no help. Listen again to Tucker Carlson last night talking about the U.S. government spying on him. Clip 2.
Spying on opposition journalists is incompatible with democracy. If they are doing it to us, and again, they are definitely doing it to us, they are almost certainly doing it to others. This is scary, and we need to stop it right away.
They are certainly doing it to others. Well, we know from the Obama administration, they were spying on the Associated Press. They were spying on Cheryl Atkinson. They were spying on those Fox reporters. And do you remember the media just furious, up in arms over that? No, of course not. Of course you don't remember that. Because the propaganda media, they just basically surrendered to these authoritarians and tyrants, these communists, these traitors. And you know, where is the media, by the way? Here's Tucker Carlson telling the whole world, the government is spying on me. And do you see CNN and MSNBC rushing to his defense? Where's Brian Stelter? Where's Chris Cuomo? Where's Wolf Blitzer? They're not going to be saying anything because they hope that the government blots out Tucker. They don't agree with Tucker's political views. So they would love to see the DOJ swoop in and wipe him out. I mean, they've called for this openly themselves on their networks. Tucker needs to be censored. Tucker needs to be blotted out. Mark Levin wrote this book a few years ago, Unfreedom of the Press. There's a great chapter, chapter 2, on the early Patriot Press. Freedom of the press, they say. Yeah, what was the press like back in the early years? The years of the founders. This is from page 48 of his book. It says, during the first half of the 19th century, explains Humphrey, he's quoting from some historians here, historians emphasize the patriotism of the printers in their efforts to help America establish its republican system of government as a model for the rest of the world to follow. See, he's saying back then, members of the press were patriots. They loved America. It says these scholars are often classified as nationalist or romantic in their outlook and conditions. For these historians, the American colonies had an important role to play in making the world a better place to live through the spread of democracy and freedom. And the newspapers served well in helping to bring about the break with Great Britain that led to these developments. Humphrey argues that these historians continually emphasize the importance of the newspapers in bringing on the revolt against Britain, British tyranny, and praise the printers for their loyalty and patriotism in the fight for liberty and independence. And today, here are all these abuses of power. And you watch the media, they're going to go silent because they hate Tucker. He's one of the few remaining voices speaking the truth. So a whistleblower comes forward and says, yeah, just so that you know, we're spying on you. This is, in any other era, this would be scandalous. This would be all across the headlines of papers everywhere. The U.S. government abusing its power. As it is, Stelter on CNN, I guess he analyzes the media. I wonder what he'll have to say on his weekend show. Where are they? My father said, and America has no helper. We now know that the Department of Justice and FBI lied to the FISA court, yet the court never said anything about it. Why is that? Because they are in on it. This shows you the power of the radical left, the swamp, and the deep state. It's just everywhere. It's exactly as Mr. Armstrong said decades ago, communist infiltration. They have infiltrated into academia, popular culture, Washington, D.C., all of these bureaucracies, these agencies that weren't even around, by the way, back in the days of the early Patriot Press. But now you have the NSA, now you have the DOJ, now you have all of these bureaucrats, these FBI agents, some of them inciting the riot on January 6th in hope that they could frame people. This is the United States. Here again was Tucker Carlson from last night, clip four.
The war on terror, now ongoing for 20 years, has pivoted in its aims. The war on terror is now being waged against American citizens, opponents of the regime. We saw this on display on January 6th. We told you a couple of weeks ago, based on language in publicly available indictments, that the FBI clearly had foreknowledge of the riot at the Capitol that day. And the agents we spoke to this weekend confirmed that is true. Quote, the FBI had sources in that crowd, confidential sources, snitches. That's 100% certain.
Here again, he's got some informants helping him. Some few whistleblowers saying, well, of course we had FBI agents in there. We had informants. We had helpers. The Epic Times had a feature on this video that someone captured. He was part of the protest on January the 6th. And he was watching some criminal behavior brought on by a couple of instigators in particular. The Epic Times says FBI informants more likely, or let me just read the article. Independent journalist Bobby Powell caught on camera two individuals that appeared to engage in illegal activity by the eastern entrance of the Capitol on Jan 6. One of them was showing people inside the building through an open door, Powell said. The other tore a damaged pane out of a Capitol window and asked Powell why he wouldn't enter the building through the broken window. So Powell was there, and he saw him break the window, and the guy said, why aren't you going in? And he didn't want to go in. He didn't want to trespass. He didn't want to damage the building. Do you hear about this on the news? Says here, the man also physically intimidated a protester who tried to push him away from the window. Both individuals Powell pointed to wore face coverings and some tactical gear. You think these were Trump supporters? I think not. Tactical gear. Powell provided his footage to the FBI, but never heard back. The FBI is not interested in these two that were inciting violence. Why not? Why wouldn't they be? It says here, it appears the FBI didn't even put out photos of the men to ask the public for help with identification, even though it did so with hundreds of others. It appears neither individual has been charged. So the guy that's bashing in the window, he's not charged? The guy that's bashing in the window and says to others, well, come on, why aren't you going in? The FBI's not chasing him down? There's this headline from Gateway Pundit yesterday. FBI arrests 69-year-old L.A. woman for entering U.S. Capitol without lawful authority, but post photo in her case packet of Capitol Police holding the door for her. So they get the 69-year-old woman who's ushered in through an official door that's opened by law enforcement, with law enforcement saying, yeah, come on in, no problem. Now, she's in jail. She's arrested. But the two that are filmed on camera, carrying out the criminality, the vandalism, the smashing, the inciting, somehow they get a pass. This is the United States of America. One final clip from Tucker last night, clip three.
After seeing all this, you have to ask yourself, does the national security apparatus do anything but conspire against the American people? I'm led to conclude that we cannot have a democracy. Everything in our politics will be fake and performative until we bring the national security state, including the FBI, to heel.
Yes, that's actually from a couple weeks ago. We played that clip 2 weeks ago. That's Tucker Carlson with Darren Beatty. He's the one that came out with the bombshell report at Revolver saying there were FBI agents and informants in the Capitol Hill protest. And he's talking about bringing to heel these out-of-control agencies, the DOJ, the FBI, and so on. Look at who they're targeting, and look at how they're going about this. FBI infiltrating the protest, NSA spying on Tucker Carlson. And meanwhile, the traitors, the actual traitors, roam freely. There was this story yesterday about Kevin Kleinsmith. He's the one that, altered the documents. He fabricated evidence. This is a lawyer, an attorney, who fabricated evidence so that they could spy on Carter Page. So that they could spy on a Trump supporter. And he got caught. I guess it's one of the few crimes that actually came out from John Durham's investigation. He's missing in action at the moment. But this came out a while back. And it was reported yesterday that Kleinsmith is going to get a one-year suspension on his law license. So it's not removed permanently like they're trying to do with Rudy Giuliani. It's just a one-year suspension. And the way that Reuters, here again, this is not the Patriot Press, not by a long shot. The way that Reuters reports on this slap on the wrist is just unbelievable. It says the disciplinary counsel's office said it does not believe that there is sufficient evidence to prove moral turpitude on the facts. Well, there really was no evil behavior here. The guy, Kleinsmith, has a pretty good track record, in fact. I mean, a little fabricating of evidence to try to frame someone. Okay, it happened, but it was just a one-time thing, just an aberration. Certainly not a reflection on the man's character. This is an upstanding attorney we're talking about. It says the office pointed to other attorney ethics cases where a lawyer received a one-year bar suspension for the submission of a falsified document to a U.S. agency. The office also cited Kleinsmith's otherwise decade of distinguished public service and said he was not driven by any personal, financial, economic, or commercial motive. He had pure motives. His motives, perfect. He fabricated and lied, but yeah, that's really out of character. And notice they go back and look at the man's 10-year record, track record. What about Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor? Does that count for anything? Of course not. He supported Trump there at the end, so he needs to be blotted out. It says his conduct, this is Reuters, the office said, and then they're quoting from the office that issued this slap on the wrist, involves only a single indictment, not a pattern of misconduct. Kleinsmith met with the disciplinary office and cooperated with the ethics investigation. As a would-be aggravating factor, bar enforcers said Kleinsmith's misconduct has been used to discredit what appeared otherwise to have been a legitimate and highly important investigation of Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election. In other words, hey, they're using, you know, the Trump people, they're using this Kleinsmith thing to discredit the whole Russia collusion hoax when really that was an important investigation, says Reuters. These are traitors. These are propagandists. These are radical Democrat activists working for Reuters, working for CNN, working for the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post. This is not justice in the United States of America. These are grave injustices that we're seeing. And it's just getting worse. These treasonous actors are just getting more and more bold. You've got an illegitimate president occupying the White House, radical Democrat. They've got control of the Senate. They've got control of the House. They've got control of most of the big cities in the United States. And yet, here's this explosion of violence, and you listen to them, they're either saying, like AOC, it's not as bad as everybody's saying, or they somehow or another blame it on Republicans, or blame it on Trump. No helper. No helper, it says in 2 Kings 14. Donald Trump came out with a statement yesterday about the Atlantic piece by Jonathan Carl, and you know how he quoted Bill Barr, and Bill Barr's saying basically there was nothing to the election fraud. Did you investigate it? No, no, we didn't. We didn't investigate it. But I know enough to know there was nothing there. And you know, I made a phone call to I think the Secretary of State in Michigan, and he said it was bogus. He said the charges of stealing the election just bogus, big lie. It's a big lie. And Bill Barr didn't even look into it. That's buried in the Atlantic article. He didn't even look into it. Didn't even investigate it. And when you look at what they investigate now, 69-year-old woman, Tucker Carlson, where does this stop? This movement to blot out even the name. Not many people are standing up to this. Donald Trump is an exception. He said, Jonathan Carl's story on slow-moving Bill Barr is made up beyond any level imaginable. It is, in other words, fake news. I lost confidence in Bill Barr long before the 2020 presidential election scam. It was when he dismissed and didn't act on the very powerful Horowitz report and instead gave everything over to John Durham, who has seemingly disappeared from the planet. He didn't act on Horowitz. He didn't act on the fact that the Russia collusion hoax was exposed as a fraud. So he handed it over to John Durham, and now John Durham goes missing. Donald Trump says, can you even believe a report coming out during the Biden administration? In other words, we're not going to see anything from Durham's office. We caught them, but unfortunately didn't have an attorney general who was capable of acting and wouldn't go against his friends in Washington, D.C. Bill Barr, says Trump, was a swamp creature who was devastated when the radical left wanted to impeach him. He just caved in to the pressure. He surrendered. He capitulated to the radical left. He and other rhinos, you see it all the time, always fold. You see this all the time. They are afraid. They lack courage. They fold under pressure. They don't want to be blotted out of the cocktail parties in Washington, D.C. They don't want to be threatened with impeachment by the radical Democrats in Congress. And so they fold. They always fold. It says, if he becomes less for President Trump, maybe they will leave him alone. Writes Donald Trump, it takes a very strong and special person to go against the mob. Bill Barr was not that person. Unfortunately, he just wasn't. He wasn't that person. Despite evidence of tremendous election fraud, he just didn't want to go there. He was afraid, weak, and frankly, now that I see what he is saying, pathetic. The facts are rapidly coming out in states and courts about the 2020 presidential election scam. And let's see if Bill Barr, a man who was unable to handle the pressure, let's see if he was correct. Let's see if it was a perfect election. Let's see if there was no fraud. Let's see if the count during the forensic audit in Arizona, let's see if it matches up with what the election officials were saying back in November. We're about to find out. That's in so many of those articles that my father's written about no help for Israel. He makes a point also in saying that so much of this corruption, so much of this evil, so much of this treasonous behavior is also being exposed. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine, tomorrow's news today, remember. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and become a Trumpet subscriber. Keep in mind, there's no cost, no obligation. All of the literature that we offer on this program and others at the Trumpet.com website, it's offered without cost or obligation. When we come back, we'll finish our study into Romans 6 and then go from there into a few other very inspiring passages of the Bible connecting to this recent study coming from Romans 6 and Colossians 3. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. Trumpet Daily.
We finished with Romans 6 and verse 16 yesterday, and I'll just start with that here, reading from the Moffat translation. It says, "Do you not know you are servants of the master you obey, of the master to whom you yield yourselves obedient, whether it is sin, whose service ends in death, or obedience, whose service ends in righteousness?" So if you yield yourself to do something contrary to God's law or even the principle of it, then you become a servant of sin, as I've been stressing over the last few shows over and again in the Bible. In the New Testament, you see that when God says you come out of this world and into his family or into his church, you make a complete break from sin, from the ways of sin. Sin is, as 1 John 3:4 says, it's the transgression of God's law. That's what we repent of when we come to the waters of baptism. Repent and believe, and then be baptized and receive the power of God's Spirit. Receive the life of Jesus Christ and let that Spirit of power serve as your guide. Surrender to it, submit to it, yield to it, as it says here in verse 16. Yield to the Spirit of God, to the government of God, to the laws of God. Let your members be servants, not of sin, but of righteousness. That's what so much of this boils down to. Which master will you serve? Paul asks. Are you going to serve sin? Are you going to yield to the ways of sin, or submit to the laws of God, righteousness? Luke 6, you can just look at verses 46 to 49. That's the section where Jesus says, "Look, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but then you don't do the things I say?" These were people that they liked what they were hearing from Christ, but they didn't yield to the instruction. They didn't submit to those laws. They didn't obey his instructions. Verse 17 here continues. It says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." You were, in the past, you were servants of sin, but now you've come along into the church and you've obeyed the form of doctrine. I mean, that starts with the Ten Commandments. That's the form of doctrine. We go through this in doctrines class each year. God's commandments, God's laws. Verse 18 says, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Freed from sin. Note that. It doesn't say you're free from keeping the law. It doesn't say that, well, because the law is bad or it's impossible to observe, we're just going to set that aside. You don't have to keep or observe the laws. Jesus did it for you. Many people believe this. That's fake religion, isn't it? Of course it is. Just read and study these verses that I'm giving to you and let them impact you the way that God wants for them to. Freed from sin, that you might become servants of righteousness. There's only two possible bondages. We're either a bondage or a slave to God, or a slave to self and the devil. He's the God of this world. So which God will you serve? Which God will you yield to? Verse 19, it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. These were people that had come out of a pretty wretched society. And you can study First Corinthians. I was thinking of Corinth, but Rome, it's pretty much the same. And you can study again through the book of Romans and see some of the sins that they had come out of. This was right at the heart of the Roman Empire. This is right in the city where fake religion got its start. Fake Christianity. Simon Magus turned the grace of God into a license to disobey. And that message, I mean, it's spread like wildfire. People love that kind of a message because you don't have to do anything. You can be just like the people that listen to Jesus Christ in Luke 6. And what did Christ say to them? Why don't you do it? Why don't you observe these laws? Why don't you keep the commandments? You're just hearing. You're not doing. You're a Christian in name only. But look, you study through these verses here in Romans 6. We have some decisions to make day in and day out. We have to make a conscious, deliberate effort to go the way of righteousness and obedience, to activate the mind of Christ, to pour your heart into your prayers and your study, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to rely on God and His power in order to break free from bondage. Notice it says there, iniquity to iniquity. It's just one sin leads to another, to another, to another. It's like cancer. I think it was Dinesh D'Souza recently talking about critical race theory. It starts out good enough, doesn't it? Well, look, all we want is to just bring a little more balance to history. I mean, you've got to study the history, but including the warts and all that as well. Okay, that's fine. And then now, where are we now? We're to the point where they want to blot out some of the founding documents in the rotunda at the National Archives. They just want to blot out America, the name of America. They want to blot out Israel, as 2 Kings 14 says. It's just spread like cancer. Verse 20, coming back to Paul's writings here, it says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You were just living from one sin to the next. Sin is like leaven. That too spreads. And when you were living in the world, says Paul, you were just serving sin. Maybe you didn't know any better. But now you've come into God's family. And now you serve righteousness. Now you submit to God's righteousness. Verse 21 says, what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? It says, for the end of those things is death. What fruit is there from the ways of sin? Well, look around you. Look at this world. Look at the unhappiness. Look at the division. Look at the hangovers, the guilt, the depression, the negativity, the murmuring, the gossip, the cheating, the stealing, the lying. Verse 22, it says, but now being made free from sin, not free to sin, free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. See, you've been released from captivity. You've been released from sin. And now you're free to observe the laws of God. Those holy and just and perfect laws, Romans 7:12. Verse 23, we come to the memory verse here at the end of the chapter. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Wages, that's what you earn. For sin, it's eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, we come to another pivotal truth here. The truth about the immortal soul lie. What do you get for sin? What's the wages that you earn? Not eternal life in hellfire. Eternal death. That's what your Bible says. This is another little known truth in God's word. But notice the second half. The gift of God. See, he wants to give it to all of mankind. And he will. He will. Upon some very clear and specific conditions. And those are repentance and belief or faith, baptism, and then the laying on of hands and the receipt of God's Holy Spirit. And that's how it's then done through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants to give it. We can't earn it. We can't hold a list of things we've done before God and say, here, give me eternal life. I've earned this. God gives it as a gift. God gives it because of his love and mercy and grace and kindness. But he's not going to give it to someone who's in just a hostile and stubborn, hateful attitude. He gives it to those children who yield to the righteousness of God, who yield their members, their minds, their hearts to the laws of God, to the government of God. In Ephesians 2, again, you see some of the same things I've been covering. Paul says to the brethren, now, in the past, you were immersed into the world. You were immersed into the ways of the world. But you've repented of that. Verse 1 of Ephesians 2, it says, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I mean, you were dead. So how did you get life? What brought life into these new converts? Verse 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. In the past, I mean, you were just going along according to the ways of this world. Mr. Armstrong said in Mystery of the Ages, Satan moves on the human spirit within people to move them in attitudes of envy, jealousy, resentment, impatience, anger, bitterness, and strife. People have no realization of the tremendous power of Satan. The human spirit within each human is automatically tuned to Satan's wavelength. This is why there's so much evil in the world today. There is a real spirit world. There's a spirit behind this movement to blot out Israel. There's a spirit behind the spying, the cheating, the stealing, the dishonesty. Verse 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were just like everyone else in the world until we repented and came out of this world and then was received by God our Father. Notice 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 30. This again is from the Apostle Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:30, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Paul was out there risking his life almost daily to proclaim the truth And look, why, as he says to the brethren here, why have I done that? I wouldn't do that if this was just a big hoax, if this was just a big lie. I'm risking everything because it's the truth. I'm willing to die for this. It's that important. Verse 31, he continues, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Every single day I die. Now, in a literal sense, he, as I just said, he was risking his life. But he's talking more here in verse 31 about the spiritual. Every day, if you look at the definition for this word, die, in Strong's Concordance, it means a natural, violent death or even eternal death. So again, it's probably applying to both. The way that he risked his life for the brethren, literally. But also, if you know about what we read in Romans 6 or the verse in Galatians 2, we can look at that here in just a second. You can begin to turn over there if you're reading along in your Bible. But we have to be crucified with Christ. We have to die daily. In these last few programs, I've talked a lot about what leads up to baptism and the receipt of the Holy Spirit. But even after conversion, even after baptism, it is a daily battle. And we have to put to death that old man every day because he keeps wanting to reemerge. He keeps wanting to come back to life. He keeps wanting to revert back to those old sinful ways. As Paul says over and again to these various congregations, now you used to be that way. You used to be just like everybody else in the world, but you've come out of that. Don't forget that. Don't forget about the covenant that you've made with God at baptism. You counted the cost. You said you were really willing to forsake even those closest to you, if need be, in order to stand up for the truth, in order to obey God's laws. I die daily. The converted life, the life in God's church, it's a process that takes a lifetime. Conversion is a process that involves the daily death of our human nature so that God's character can triumph in our lives. Galatians 2:19, it says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." So I've died, yet I live. What does he mean? Verse 20, the memory verse, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I live by the faith of Christ. It's different now that I've been converted. Every time you take a step in the direction of Christ, or you take a step, or you step out in faith and obey God, well, it's like you're driving another nail in that coffin where the old man is dead and buried. We have to leave behind that old way of living and walk with Christ and follow in the steps of Christ. Follow that perfect example that Jesus Christ set for us. I gave you a quote just a moment ago from Mystery of the Ages. If you don't have a copy of that book, call our operators and request your free copy of Mr. Armstrong's greatest work, 1-866-930-3024. That's all that we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.